AF4DLT Portable, Easley, South Carolina. Good evening.
DLT, Kilo X-ray 4, Yankee Mike. You're sounding good tonight for Portable.
X-ray 4, Yankee Mike, KF4DLT. Let's give the credit to the machine up on Caesar's head. and it's good coverage, Jerry, and real good audio. And here's Al over here in Easley. How are you, sir?
The name here is Scott, and I'm sitting here just south of Greenville in the bustling metropolis of Cone State.
Very good. Drive careful here in the evening hours like this, coming up on midnight, well, 11 and then midnight, of course. Are you just getting off work or running some errands?
On a shack playing a vintage game of Harpoon.
Oh, I see you're in your shack right now. All right, very good. Playing an old video game. That sounds good. That sounds like fun.
I'm playing pretty much the same computer sim for about 15 years now, and I enjoy the heck out of it. It's a great way to get your mind thinking back and forth.
96 or 97, I believe it was 97, I was up at the, it's not Charlotte Ham Fest, but the Shelby Ham Fest, and there was an old Space Invaders game there the fellow was asking 300 for. He had power run to it. It was working and everything, and I thought, boy, this would be the coolest thing to go ahead and get and bring home. Passed on it, but I've been told today that same game would be worth almost $2,000 if I'd have bought that home.
Classics are really making a comeback if you can find them. It's still uncannibalized.
Absolutely, yeah. The people I talked with, and it sounds like you might know a little more about it like they do, because I don't, that as long as it's working, that's the thing, if it's working and it's original, you got yourself something there.
Just an old software simulator put together by Larry Bond for the cadets at Annapolis. I guess they're midshipmen, not cadets, but yeah, right now I'm working my way down through the GIUK gap.
Fun. Sounds like fun, that's for sure. Yeah, I used to remember playing Space Invaders and put that quarter in and slamming that finger, you know, 100 million times, blasting out those bombs there and then taking them out. You know, of course, it just went horizontal, the gun did, across the bottom of the screen. But by golly, it sure was fun.
They're talking 3D simulations on the net and virtual reality, and I get vertigo when I look at those things.
They're playing now, so much more advanced. And in a little itty-bitty light as it can be package, and of course a lot faster, a lot smarter, and a lot better graphics exactly than that great big console that those games, Space Invaders, Asteroid. There was a game that came out after Space Invaders that had the same concept where you push the button a million times, and I forgot that game, the name of that game, but that was another game that I played from time to time.
Well, I worked part-time in a bowling alley, and when it was slow, we would tee the machine up for about 10 or 15 games and then sit there and wait for customers to come in. But, yeah, I drank a few adult beverages while I was playing that game, that's for sure.
A picture of me and my three buddies there that I work with. We worked underground construction at the time. And on days that we didn't have material or it was just raining too bad to be able to crawl around in anywhere from 3 to 12 foot deep ditch, we'd go over there and do the same thing at the local bowling alley. If we didn't bowl the games, we'd go ahead and the bartender was all too ready to go ahead and make sure we could make change. And we got over there and played that. We played Space Invaders and drink Budweiser's. Of course, I was living on Budweiser and BC headache powder at the time.
out in the middle of the Pacific on a desert island, and when I got done with my day job, it was usually so boring that, I worked in the bowling alley part-time playing with the machines, keeping the lanes clean, and just basically killing time. It was a great place to be at a great time.
Absolutely. Like I said, I was living on Budweiser and BC headache powder at that time. A lot different now, I'll tell you. I don't mess with that no more. And I lived a lifestyle accordingly, too, if you know what I'm saying. definitely had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Maybe a little too much.
Sometimes I think I'd give it all up just to go back and spend the rest of my days out on that desert island out there. Not a darn thing to worry about except the next meal.
Well, look at it in that context. It's absolutely right. Nothing at all to worry about, really. Nothing at all to worry about. No worries, no concerns. Nothing but happens. A lot of fun. Of course, at that time, I was dreaming about being where I am now. And now it's funny, here we are, and we're dreaming about where we were then.
That cycles around back and forth. I guess the wheel keeps turning. What do you say?
I love to hear it. It makes sense. Be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it.
So what else is going on? You're on a portable just hanging out. That's a good sound there.
Well, I used to be real active on 2-meter 440 and got away from it about 3 years ago. And when I got back into HF, so I've been playing on HF, a lot of 75 meters in the daytime, 40 and 20 meters. Matter of fact, today I played on 20 meters for a little while and 40 as well. But went ahead and bought this little Baofang or Bofang or whatever, however you pronounce it, this little Chinese HT. And I've been hitting some repeaters from time to time, checking on that Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Net a couple of times during a week I try to. And, just finished my evening chores. Got my grandsons, both Bryson and Braden, 10 and 6 years old here. And that's what I'm doing.
Put that seat and get those kids thinking about something else other than their cell phones, and that's half the battle.
Nothing. they from time to time will come on in and want to talk on the radio. They will, but they get a little microphone shy, and they can get back in their own little world, like you said, on the cell phone, either watching YouTube or playing their little video games on the cell phones. Matter of fact, my grandson, the 10-year-old's got mine right now, and the 6-year-old's got my wife's.
As joys yet, hopefully sooner or later I'll get some grandkids around, but I'm not in any hurry, and neither are they, and that's a good thing, I guess, in these days. So I'll just keep the old machines going, and hopefully my daughter stops by every now and then, and I found an old Apple iMac, the ones with the transparent cases, and we play Oregon Trail on that thing.
Neat equipment, no doubt. Yeah, about that same time when I bought that Space Invaders game, a buddy of mine, KT4YO, Dave from Anderson, he bought an old Tandy computer that Radio Shack used to sell. From what I understand, that was Apple, if I'm correct. He bought that and got that thing cranked back up. And I was playing some interesting games back then in the 90s. I don't know if he still has that or not.
Look, Dad, I take a flyer whenever I see old computers up on auction sites. And I took a flyer on this one, and after I cracked the password in there and got around to playing with it, I put it off to the side. And then another day I was in a thrift store, and there was Oregon Trail. And I said, well, I'll pay $5 for that to see if it works. And lo and behold, it still runs, and, you keep dying of dysentery.
Well, Scott, I remember, it is Scott, I hope, if I recall correctly, you told me your name. Name here is Al Falim, I guess it should ID KF4DLT. I never played that particular game, though.
I'll start out in Kansas City with a wagon, and you buy your supplies, and you head out on the trail, and you hunt your food, and stop and trade, and collect, and it's a great way to just stop and slow down and think a little bit. Plus, it's all we had back 20 years ago, so it's kind of humorous to play again.
My grandsons would find that interesting at all, compared to Roblox. Gosh, what are the games they play? Roblox, that game where you build things with, I forgot the, but Minecraft and the likes.
The kids are more sophisticated than we were, or still are, I guess. That doesn't matter. I'm having a good time. I got a cigar going. I'm just hanging out doing about three things at once.
From my own heart, yeah, I'm a cigar smoker myself. I enjoy a fine premium cigar and a cup of coffee. We were talking about adult beverages in our young life. Now it's caffeine and nicotine. Nicotine via a premium cigar. What do you like to smoke?
Spartacus Black, and I'm smoking a Gran Habano right now, just about finishing it off. And every now and then, only on the weekends, though, I pair it with a pretty decent bourbon or rye.
Those cigars you mentioned go very well with an adult beverage. I just don't act right when I drink, but caffeine through medium-strength coffee, and then a fine cigar like you talk about, yeah, that Spartacus Black and that Habano, you made my mouth water when you mentioned that. I love that Spartacus Black. My favorite cigar is the Camacho line. I'm a big Camacho fan, and my everydays, I order from JR Cigar out of Burlington, North Carolina. They got a pretty good line of what they call the JR Alternatives, which you can smoke, and they don't break the bank like those babies you're talking about.
I have to limit myself with that because I could pretty much... I try to limit it to a cigar every other day or so just to keep it still enjoyable and not so habitual, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm well beyond that. That ship's done sailed here, brother. Three cigars a day for me is a slow day. My wife and I are constantly at each other on that. Or she's at me because of the amount of money I spend on cigars. Yeah, I love them bad boys. I enjoy them. And the habitual, like I said, is already sailed.
Oh, well, I mean, they take most of the other vices away from us. At least we can still do these things in the privacy of our own quarters these days.
That's right. I turned 59 last June. I'll be 60 this June. And one of the things I figured out that I had here, it's been 2 years, well, actually 2.5 years ago when we figured out I had it, was prostate cancer. And so I had that thing taken out, and I'm dealing with the results thereof, if you know what I'm talking about. And like you said, some of the things I got into, I'm not getting into no more.
It's not for the weak-hearted or the weak-minded, that's for darn sure. I still got my prostate, but everything else is falling apart.
Absolutely. How close to 60 are you, Scott?
I turned 61 this year.
Same age. I graduated from high school in 79. I guess that puts you 78 or 77. Things falling apart. My shoulders are sore. That's what I have. I find myself, my shoulders are hurting, and I put it back to the construction work I did through my 20s and into my late 20s. We worked real hard. We sure did.
Yeah, my shoulders, I tore up playing sports most of the time. And I tell you, shoulder surgery is about the worst thing I've ever gone through. But it was worth every day of pain sitting there not moving, because now both arms work and I can throw a football again.
Yeah, I played football in high school. But I'm tore up in high school with my ankles between football and wrestling. It's interesting you mentioned throwing a football. I played center in high school, and I was snapping the ball on Thanksgiving Day to the boys there, the younger boys there in their late 20s, early 30s. They'd never seen anybody snap a ball like that. I can still pump it out there 10 yards. I remember when I was in high school playing, I could snap a perfect spiral between my legs 15 yards, when I was a center. So that brought back memories. It was a lot of fun, kind of showed them how you do it. And, that's what I did.
Baseball and volleyball for me pretty much, but still throw a football or a frisbee every now and then when I can find somebody to aim at. If you can afford the downtime to get your shoulders fixed, you might want to think about doing that. Like I said, it definitely draws a vacuum, but no more pain, and I've got full mobility, and the strength is back, and you can do things like you were 30 again. It's kind of nice to feel.
F4DLT. Now, did you have the shoulder replacement surgery? Is that what you had?
Went there and repaired a couple of tears and put a screw in and cut out a bunch of arthritis and basically cleaned it up. And I had a tendon that was a little loose. They reattached that. And if you can get past the sitting there in the chair for 3 weeks in an upright position, and then you can go through the therapy, I want to say it's worth it, but it didn't feel like it when I was going through it, if you know what I mean.
Somebody I've talked to that's had the shoulder procedures, talk about the therapy, and the therapy it is very disconcerting and some uncomfort that goes with it. That's interesting you're talking about that. Sounds like you and I chewed a lot of the same dirt. We sure have. So I played volleyball. I lived on Hilton Head Island during that time that I was talking about in my early 20s, and played a lot of volleyball, an enormous amount of volleyball there on the beach. There's always games, nets up, and pretty much anybody could join in.
I was a digger, so I dove a lot, tore up my knees a little bit, but that's normal. And I played mainly in gyms and with a bunch of meat-eating sailors, and it gets scary playing with those guys every now and then. They're healthy beasts.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you're talking about that. As far as some of the best volleyball players played against were girls, believe it or not. Those women on the beach that, played volleyball in high school and college, they still stayed with it. And, man, they could spike that ball. You knew it when that thing was coming at you. It was actually fun to play with them.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Plus, they're quick. And it's always fun to try to sit up with the younger folks and teach them how it used to be done, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Without question. Hey, grandson, I don't know if I'm doubling with you or not. But a grandson just walked in the room here. I'm trying to get him to come over and talk to you, but they don't want to.
I'd be bashful. Now, if I was a girl, they'd probably want to talk.
My wife's leg would be broke off in a certain part of my body right now if you were a girl and we were having this long conversation.
Actual, it's over the air.
No. She's a good gal. She's earned her spurs with me, no doubt about it. She's a good lady. As long as she'll keep me around, I'm going to stay here with her.
She's on 38 years, and I don't know why she still keeps me hanging around. I don't know. It's not my looks. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, this will be our 21st year. Our 21st year here in February 19th. That'll be our 21st. 21 years for us.
That's pretty good. We must be doing something right.
Past the 90-day probationary period, that's for sure. But it's important to know, Scott, that changes can be made at any time. That's one of the things to keep in our back pocket and know that.
Yeah, but it's cheaper to keep her in the long run, as the song goes.
Cheaper for her to keep me. Cheaper for me or her to keep me. I don't know if it's the same in your as far as your line is, but 38 years, sounds like you two got a good thing going. And all the very best to her. Please, she's in the area, give her a wave and a smile and say Happy New Year to her for me.
One of the games on a computer on her iPad, and I'm sitting up here in the man cave, so to speak.
I am, when I'm not on my HT, when I'm on my rig out there in my shack, where I smoke my cigars and drink my coffee and talk on ham radio, and you know where they you know when you see these used rigs for sale, let's say they were always in a smoke free environment. I won't be able to say that if I ever sell any of my gear.
I'm in the process of building a separate shack, and investigate different kinds of air cleaners that'll take care of the lingering effects of the smoke. But I'll never make that claim of a smoke-free environment. It's just whatever, pal. You know, if you need it that bad, go for it.
No, that's exactly right. No, you talk about the filters. Yeah, I've been through a bunch, you know, the Walmart brands, and the higher end ones that I think you're talking about getting involved. You probably hear my grandson's velvet corner. It's not so much the price of the product itself. It's the filters, man. They just really, you go through those filters so quick, and don't take long before they lose their effectiveness, so they can be real expensive. I got a window fan in my shack. It's a Polonis brand, and it's got a little bit more cubic feet per minute air it moves, and that's what I use. But the negative to that is, of course, in the summertime, it pulls out the air condition. Wintertime, pulls out the heat.
You know what you mean? I've got the back door's open and a box fan blowing out, and I'm sitting in front of one of those big old propane garage heaters so I can still move my fingers up in the unheated area of the shack here. Back in the 70s and 80s in the labs I worked at, we had monster old electrostatic air cleaners that we used to run over the benches, but that was when we were still allowed to smoke while we were working. And those things, I wish I could find one of them now, because those things kept it clean and relatively dust-free at the same time. But I don't think anybody's making those anymore, and it would probably throw out so much RFI that it would make the radios useless.
You always run into when you're adding that sort of thing to your shack. So with that, you're right about that. That's funny you talking about that. I have a propane heater as well in my shack, and it's got one of those circular things that are on top of the tank, and boy, that warms up my little Bennett building that I've got set up behind the house there. I'd like to go ahead and get some 220 out there and actually put one of those Mitsubishi Mr. Slims or I think Sanyo makes the same concept heater/air conditioners. That's a goal I'm looking at doing when I'm ready to sink some more money into it. Whenever I start thinking about spending that kind of money, though, I start thinking about buying more ham gear.
This year has been the year of the radio for us. We've been, I've slowly but surely over the summer and fall been taking the top half of my barn and making a radio room out of it. And now I'm getting to the point where I've got to put outlet covers on and put a couple of benches in and bring the radios up and hang a couple of HF antennas.
fun things going on there, that's for sure. Yeah, the only thing that limits us in our ham radio hobby, and just like any other hobby, is the amount of money in our wallet, that's for sure. And you can get into it real quick with this hobby. You sure can. I bought a ICOM 746, not 746, ICOM 7300. I used to have the 746 Pro. I still have it, as a matter of fact. You can hear my grandsons. But I want to get that sister radio there that goes with it, the 2 meter 440 and 23 centimeter rig that goes with that, and set them both next to each other. That's my what I want to do in my shack.
I'm slowly but steadily trying to plan for the future. I've got 220 run into the shack for the eventual linear. I've got pre-lines already run through the wall so I could pull antennas from outside back in. And Christmas kind of set me back for my disposable cash, spending it on presents. But I'm waiting for a stimulus, and then I'm going to put up an HF vertical and probably get my breakout box and lighting protection in.
Everything going in the right direction. KF4DLT with the 4, and I forgot to call. I remember buying on KF4DLT. But yeah, it sounds like you got yourself pretty well set up here. I'm going to ask you to stand by just a minute. My wife's still waving her hand at me.
For Yankee Mike, standing by.
For Scott, this is KF4DLT. I'm glad we made this contact tonight. I sure am, if you're still on frequency here. It sounds like you and I, like I said, shoot a lot of the same dirt and kind of into the same things. But that linear amp, you're going to really, really be glad that you got the 220.
I thought that might help sooner or later, and if not, well, an extra 220 circuit in a shack is not going to hurt anything. I'm trying to plan for the long run and see if I can ease a little bit of the pain by having to redo things 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, definitely get yourself set up with the 220 out there like you have. I recommend 2 outlets. That's what I recommend if you can. And, right now, I'm set up just basically. I just got basic the 120 out there, and I need to go ahead and do some get serious with it and get a its own breaker box and everything out there to my little building and go from there.
I'm pretty good with I've got a separate detached barn / shop / man cave, and it's got an upstairs, and it's nicely fenced in now, and starting to look. I just got it painted, or actually I got my wife to paint it for me, because my idea of painting something is to wrap up in tape and use a spray gun. So she painted everything up, and now it's my turn to finish everything going. But the price of wood's been killing me.
Get no better either. It sure isn't, Scott. That's just the way it's going to be, and the way it's been expensive in the last 15-20 years, and just keeps going up. It's going to be I know what you're saying, brother. I know what you're saying.
You're not getting any lighter either. I tell you, that's I like drywalling about as much as I like plumbing, which is not.
Far as drywalling, I feel pretty confident with that. What I don't do very well with is finishing drywall. I'll tell you what, I do with that mud is make a mess, and end up having to do an enormous amount of sanding, and then that gets old. I just say to heck with it and paint over the ugliness that I put up there. I don't mind cutting it, and again, those 4x8 sheets are a lot heavier than they were when I was 20 years old. So you get the hand there, help hold that up. But as far as finishing it, I never could pick that up. Never was any good at that. Good drywall finisher is worth the weight in gold.
I called it quits after my second bucket full of mud, and that's as good as it was going to get. And you might see it every now and then, but it's supposed to be dark in a radio shack, right?
Absolutely, that's my plan. There's a color called chocolate brown. Chocolate brown. And by golly, that's the perfect color for cigar smoking ham operators like ourselves. Because it just goes right on into that chocolate brown. And unless there's somebody with some bright lights turned on in there, they can't tell the walls are stained.
Something that was a paint tone called something cookies and cream or something like that, with a semi-light brownish beige. It should work just fine.
That brown color, it'll of course you'll see a difference in the tone of that beige as time goes on with your cigars. My Bennett building, I don't have it finished inside at all. It's not finished. My wife, she won't go out there because it just stinks too much, cigars. But all the walls, the 2x4s and the framed up roof, the trusses that they use on those little Bennett buildings, little portable buildings, they're all turned cigar brown.
I'm trying to keep that down, and whenever I'm out here with a cigar, I've got a box fan going, blowing the fumes out, and I try to keep it aired out, but I'm thinking about putting a roof ventilator in over the workbench or something like that, and maybe a split air conditioner if the finances let me do it later on.
On that sort of thing, we all got our plans, and every time it comes down to spending the money, the wife, she usually has something else that requires that money they want to spend. So I know the rules there, brother. I know the rules. They're the same at this house as they are yours.
As long as I can keep it kind of neat and organized, she doesn't have any heartburn with it, and she's a ham too. I'm trying to get her to take her general, but she does better in a classroom environment, and COVID kind of put the end to that. But she might be up here sooner or later, especially if I keep it not smelling like the backside of a men's club, if you know what I mean.
The best thing you can do if you want to keep her involved with a hobby. My wife, I know that she'd love it. Whenever she's around the rig and hearing me talking on it, she's down the hall right now. But she likes to go ahead and, I don't know if your wife did before she got her license, or maybe still does, she'll like for me to go ahead and tell me what to say when someone's, making their transmission. And that's the sure sign right there that that individual needs a ham license.
Goodbye, and my wife is a retired radioman senior chief, and radios and her go along real well, and she was doing it back in the days where they actually had HF on ships, and not too much of the computer stuff, so she's played the RF game before, and she kind of likes it, and we both kind of do the radio thing.
When I first went to college, I actually was in it to be a disc jockey, DJ. I love music, still love music. I got the stereo now, and I'm 60 years old that I always wanted to have when I was a teenager in early 20s. I can afford to have the one I want now. And, that's interesting. And when I first went to school, that's what I did. But like I said, I was too much into the Budweiser BC headache powder and chasing the co-ed around there, around the college, if you know what I'm saying.
I am. I had my single man stereo and Bose 901s and top of the line Pioneer stuff, and that all kind of goes by the wayside when you gotta put food on the table after you get married.
God, absolutely. Okay, the boss here has just put out a demand. I can't play radio no more. She's got a couple of projects for me to do. Scott, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. I hope the opportunity presents itself when we can talk again.
Hi.
And who am I speaking with?
Tell me.
Brayden.
Brayden, you sound real good on this end. Are you playing in your dad or in your grandpa's radio room tonight?
I'm playing my video game.
Sound real good on the mic. Don't be afraid of it. It doesn't bite you too bad.
Okay, sir.
Okay, sir.
Good speak with you tonight. I'm going to say good night to you here. I got to go down there, and we'll go ahead and look forward to doing this again. All the best to your wife. My wife's name's Sabrina. My name's Al. Call sign's KF4DLT, and I hope that the opportunity, as soon as COVID business is done, we can get together and have some fun and smoke a cigar.
KX4YM. Okay, Al, my name is Scott, once again, and my better half's name is Mary, and, we'll yak some more sooner or later, and if they ever get rid of this quarantine stuff, we'll probably start meeting up again.
As it turns out, the project wasn't quite as much as I thought it was. That's Kilo Foxtrot 4, Delta Lima Tango. And your W4, what now? Help me out again.
Kilo Yankee, tongue-tied that. Kilo X-Ray 4, Yankee Mike.
Kilo X-Ray 4, Yankee Mike. Kilo X-Ray 4, Yankee Mike. All right, Scott. By golly, it sure has been fun. And look forward to talking with you again. Kilo X-Ray 4, Yankee Mike, KF4DLT.
KX4YM 73, sir. Have a great rest of the remaining year, and we'll chat later on down the road. KX4YM, clear on your final.
I'd call this the final then. Scott, it's been a lot of fun. And thank you for picking Braden up like that. He's in there bragging to his brother. He talked on the radio, and his brother didn't. KF4DLT, clear.